Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Corey Heppola. In for Paul and Jordana on this Friday. Thankful to them letting me kind of hang out here for 3 hours. Typically, you can hear me 9 to noon here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. You can follow along at Corey Heppola, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That song's a perfect example, right? There's some language in that song from the 40s. That now John Legend and Kelly Clarkson felt like we gotta change some of the language in that song, because if you look at it through a particular lens, it could be a predator, a sexual predator. The guy comes across as very aggressive and trying to get the girl to stay home, so they changed the language in that song. You look at comedy in the same way. Comedy is constantly evolving, right? If you watch a comedy from the 60s or 70s, I don't know, it's just not funny, at least not to me. You know, the topics, the pacing, the language. I look at even Mel Brooks. Some of Mel Brooks I like, not all of it. So I'm not like a huge fan. But when you're a kid, comedy, that's when comedy's at its best for you, right? So like for me, like 90s, Adam Sandler. Loved Adam Sandler. And he's got a new movie out called Uncut Gems. He's a charismatic jeweler, makes a high stakes bet. They're talking Oscars. Potentially for Adam Sandler. Oscar buzz. But it kind of made me think about, okay, well, where's Adam Sandler's career been these past 25 years? Because it started out hot. He was the along with Jim Carrey, like the most successful comedic actor of the 90s, and then struggled somewhat in the 2000s, at least from a buzz perspective, because all his movies make money. They made a lot of money. They all make money, except they're not all that good. I don't know. Maybe I'm off on this. We got Brian Miller. He's a comedian and film critic for City Pages. Brian, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. You know, it's interesting you say that about his movies not being successful, or as it were. That's the weird thing about Adam Sandler, is that he's the most successful financially when he's the least artistically successful almost all of the time.
It's crazy.
These movies, yeah, like the movie Rain Over Me, the Mike Binder movie, Spanglish, which was a James L. Brooks movie. You know, he's got these genuine attempts to do interesting art kind of sown throughout his career. But I would say, rather than Adam Sandler failing us as an artist, I think actually we as an audience have failed Adam Sandler.
Okay, so that's an interesting point. When you look at Sandler's career, right? Okay, so you have all these movies. The 90s, he comes out insanely hot. He's got all these goofy comedies, and that was at his best. He continues to make money, and sometimes I think he just chooses movies. He's like, well, look, I'm going to have fun doing this. That's what I want to do. I don't need to do all this other stuff that you want me to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm still going to make money doing it.
And get all his friends paid, too. He's a very loyal guy.
That's right.
He's got these actors and his crew, and but it's, you know, it's like every time he steps outside the box, he kind of gets swatted. So can you blame the guy for going, wait, so I can make a ton of money having a lot of fun, or I can work really hard and no one will pay attention?
Yeah. Well, now people are paying attention, at least to Uncut Gems, and that comes out today. I think in the cities it'll be in a couple of weeks. I guess before I start, Brian, I want to ask you about your relationship to Adam Sandler. Like, you know, how old are you, and when were you first introduced to Adam Sandler?
He was kind of part of the SNL crew that, you know, everybody thinks SNL is the best from, like, whenever they were aged, like, 9 to 15.
Yeah.
Always, you know, and he was in that range for me, you know, with Farley and those guys. And so, you know, I loved him as Cabin Boy and or not Cabin Boy, that was Chris Elliott, Canteen Boy.
Canteen Boy.
You know, all the silly stuff he did. And then Billy Madison comes out, which was, I still think, is one of his best movies.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, a pure distilled form of that, like, incredibly juvenile, silly comedy. It was, like, never purer than it was right there.
By the way, can you imagine a skit like Canteen Boy today? There's no way.
No, see, talking about comedy that doesn't age exactly, it's like, holy smokes.
Yeah, that one in particular, for sure. All right, I asked you to come up with a top three Adam Sandler movie list. Did you do it? You cool doing that?
I do. I've got the top three list here. And then number one on there, or at least chronologically, would be Billy Madison. I still think, when you think of Adam Sandler, he's got a lot of variation, but like the thing that he defined him and his comedic persona, like I said, it was never better than that. I still think, that's better than like Happy Gilmore or whatever. And then he evolves up from there, I think, into my number two, which is Wedding Singer.
Okay.
Wedding Singer still holds up. I think that is like the soft-edged version of his comic persona that still really works. It's like still a really, really sweet movie and kind of kicked off nostalgia for a lot of that 80s pop music that now your kid's listening to all the time, but
yeah.
It was considered pretty junky when he put it in his movie. It's almost a joke.
What's interesting is that, so that movie comes out in 1998. The 80s decade wasn't that long ago. It's like this music was only 10 to 12, 13 years old.
It was almost really nostalgia for people who didn't even live through that period in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the main audience of that movie, the 80s, was like pretty abstract. They were in, Romper Room or whatever.
Yeah. All right, so you got Billy Madison number one. I thought maybe you'd go 3-2-1, reveal the number one last.
I'm kind of going chronologically, I suppose.
Yeah. So Billy Madison, Wedding Singer, and then what do you got at three?
Probably, I think, still his best movie. Although maybe Uncut Gems will change my mind on that. Punch Drunk Love.
You did it. Okay.
Yeah, you almost have to. And I think what's fascinating about Punch Drunk Love is by Paul Thomas Anderson, the director, who's only ever made maybe two movies that I would say are not total Paul Thomas Anderson movies. His movies are very distinctive, but he made the Inherent Vice a few years ago, which was really more of a Thomas Pynchon movie. He's kind of trying to capture the flavor of that book. But Punch Drunk Love, if you look at it, it is a pure Adam Sandler movie. It's a true Adam Sandler movie. In fact, has the same plot arc as Billy Madison, as the emotionally unstable man-child who must learn to grow up. But instead of playing it as like totally absurd, he plays it for like these deep pathos, and he kind of finds the sadness in there and turns it into an incredible movie. But that's way more of a Sandler movie than it is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
So he's Brian Miller. He's a comedian and film critic for City Pages. Okay, so when you talk about Punch Drunk Love, by the way, Paul Thomas Anderson, phenomenal. But so to me, Punch Drunk Love may be the last great movie he's done. I mean, you look at the 2000s and he got Spanglish and Click and Rain Over Me. I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which is I cannot believe. I mean, that's only 12 years ago.
I remember going to see that in the theater and thinking it felt 25 years old the day it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got like Funny People a decade ago, which wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. And then to me, this decade's been just, terrible. So I don't. What about you? What's like? Is there anything from Punch Drunk Love on that stands out as, oh, that was pretty good?
Yeah, there's one that nobody saw, and maybe more people will see it now that Marriage Story is blowing up. But Noah Baumbach did a movie called The Meyerowitz Stories. Netflix, just like he did for Marriage Story. And Meyerowitz Stories is pretty good. It's not the best Noah Baumbach movie, but Sandler is incredible in it. He's really relatable, and he's really vulnerable, and he's not like playing it too serious. Almost Rain Over Me was almost like so serious it sort of tipped into parody a little bit. But in this, he kind of channels his like everyman sweetness as this piano player who's kind of lost his way and gotten sad in this artist family. And it's only a movie for people who kind of like slow, chatty, arty movies.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good, and it's on Netflix right now. It's him and Dustin Hoffman and Ben Stiller.
Would it come out in like 2015 or 2016 or something, right?
Yeah, I think 2016 sounds about right. It's
okay.
Kind of fresh, and it really, for a Noah Baumbach, Adam Sandler, Dustin Hoffman, Ben Stiller movie, like, wow, right?
Yeah.
Kind of landed with a thud, or not even a thud, like a...
Just went and gone.
...onto cotton, and no one heard it.
Yeah.
it was just... And it's been on Netflix this whole time.
Yeah.
I would recommend watching it for people. If you like Sandler, he is just tremendous. And he does get to be funny. The opening scene is he's a New Yorker who's trying to have a conversation with his daughter while he parks his car in New York traffic. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference between that heavy Sandler and the hilarious Sandler?
Yeah. That's awesome, Brian. I really appreciate the conversation. I'm going to have to text you my top three Adam Sandler. I'll text it because I'm going to hold it for a little bit later this afternoon. I'll text you mine.
Sounds good. And then I got my my top 10 list all ready for next week.
I was losing sleep last night trying to figure out my top 10 list of the decade. So that's next Tuesday. We'll get you back on Tuesday morning.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
Thanks, Brian.
Have a good one, Corey.
He's Brian Miller. He's a comedian. He's at Acme a lot. So very funny. Also, he's a film critic for City Pages. So love having him on. You can catch him quite often on my show, 9 to noon on right here. Newstalk 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.